Hi, everyone. This is your host, Lori Moylove, with the Limitless Podcast. Today, I have David Kodelia, who has directed feature films, television, commercials, music videos, corporate videos for over two decades. Some of his clients include Disney, Lucasfilms, Paramount, Warner Brothers, Bad Robot, and even Amazon, and so many more. You're known for your cheerful energy, your humor, imagination, your technical experience, resourcefulness, and your unwavering love for the craft. I was wondering if you could kind of go into how you started. I know like you and your brother kind of started at such an early age. Could you kind of go into that?
Absolutely. Yeah, my brother and I have always just, you know, we had pretty great sheltered life. So all we had was imagination time. So even before fifth grade, which is when I say we started video, even before that, we were putting on puppet shows for our parents. And they tell this story that at the end, they would clap. And when we were so young, we thought clapping meant keep going. So we would keep going up and going and making things up as we went. And our parents were like, well, we can't stop clapping. They wanted it to end. But yeah, we made videos all through fifth grade for class projects and just with our friends in our backyard for fun. Instead of doing cool stuff like playing sports or going out, we were making dumb movies in our backyards, killing each other with laser beams and lightsabers.
That sounds like perfect alignment, because I know like you and your brother, you guys worked on some behind the scenes. Can you kind of go into that, like what it is in capturing behind the scenes?
Sure. Behind the scenes, I mean, we never thought of something like that happening to us, but we were working, I guess I was working at Bad Robot at the time. It's sort of there to do whatever filmmaking stuff needed to be done. My boss asked me if I can shoot behind the scenes because Leonard Nimoy was coming in to get his ears molded for Star Trek Into Darkness. So and cool. I said, yeah, that sounds great. And I called my brother, who knew how to run a red camera, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And he was over the phone telling me how to use JJ's, you know, personal hand-built early red prototype camera. I'm filming Leonard Nimoy, and it's such an early red that it didn't have lens stabilization or audio recording. So I had to strap a separate audio recorder and do my own slates, and the camera's heavy. And I'm filming Leonard Nimoy, just so nervous. But yeah, we got into that and we filmed for, I think, five months of filming. Wow. And a little bit of pre-production. So we filmed the construction of the Enterprise all the way through the wrap, all the way through post. And that's kind of, I don't know if that's more common now, but at the time that was not done. You know, film crews, I mean, behind the scenes usually brought in for a couple of special days, but we were there for every day. And the crew really got comfortable with us, which made our footage better.
That's so cool. Cause like, I think like, especially with behind the scenes, like especially for storytellers, like usually just jump into the film, but you don't see kind of like all the other special things and attributes that kind of go into making such a great piece of art, whether that's a film or a TV show. So it's kind of cool that you've captured that. How, like in your approach creatively, like how do you go about, like when you kind of were like bursted into this universe of like capturing the behind the scenes, how like was your creative process with you and your brother?
It's really great. You know, I mean, because we were filmmakers and sort of familiar with how things are done. I mean, you step onto a set like Star Trek Into Darkness and everybody is just the best you've ever seen. And so we looked around and nothing was confusing. Like, wait, what is that thing? What are they doing? It was just the best version of that thing we've ever seen in our lives. But if it was a crane, it was the best crane on a platform that they're raising up by chains so they can get the crane over the set wall into the thing. We're like, it makes sense, but it's blowing my mind. Yeah. So that was our process, was just looking around, and we had complete freedom. You know, the studio wasn't really, they talked to us in the beginning and we said some of the things that interested us, but mostly it was hang out on set, look around and think, you know what? I'm curious how they did that. Let's go find out who did it and talk to them and get the footage we need to tell that story. So I think in creative terms, it was very much like we were just kids in our backyard again, going, oh, that's cool. Let's do that. Just sort of willy nilly. And then depending on the material we collected, we thought this is definitely a featurette that we want to pitch to our bosses and have become a piece. Or maybe it'll become part of this other piece that happened later. We're like, oh, these can go together or back to back or something. It was just look at the cool thing. And for all the fans that couldn't be there, try to cover it for them best we can, and sharing our excitement is because we're fans of Star Trek, of course.
Right. Yeah. Sharing.
And just share that with fans who couldn't be there. We felt so lucky every day.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, especially like Star Trek and even Star Wars, because you guys covered Star Wars stuff too. Like, can you go into maybe some of that creative approach in that, like when you were shooting?
it was sort of the same thing. JJ went to England to film Force Awakens, and he couldn't bring everybody he wanted, but I guess at some point he was able to invite us out to sort of just help get more footage, and we showed up for the last 2.5 months of filming. So that was a little different because we showed up and everything was in motion. And again, it was the best answer of everything. The first set we walked onto was the forest set for the lightsaber fight between Kylo Ren and Rey and Finn. And we just walked onto the set, and there's like snow and a mixture of, I guess, real trees and fake trees. And instead of a blue screen, it was a painting of more trees.
Wow.
Like old school. And they're doing a lightsaber fight in the snow. And we were like, of course. We've never seen that before, but it's the absolute coolest answer possible. And it was cool to see a lot of our same film crew from, you know, Star Trek again, reunite. And
that's so cool.
Just get to work. Yeah. And again, just cover it for the cool factor of, you know, the first time they had lightsabers that lit up that they could strike. So again, it made our behind the scenes look so cool because JJ just loves that, having as much practical elements as he can.
Now, I have a question for you with like approaching creativity from the directing standpoint of like something scripted. What's your process? Do you kind of go into storyboarding? How do you go about like, you know, getting into whether it's like, okay, it's an advertisement for Amazon or whatnot? Like, how do you jump into that process?
Well, sometimes the concept's presented to you. So, you know, taking freelance work for Amazon, it was a commercial that was pre-written. You know, but I had some creative freedom in terms of like, how do we shoot it? So if it's a mom who's trying to, you know, get her kids something to do over the summer, you know, the script says she's trying to negotiate with the summer camp that closed on her kids. And I thought, well, what if she's hiding by the fridge in the darkness and the kids are breaking stuff in the background? You know, the idea is already sort of there on paper, but a script is a blueprint, you know, in which you can stack more fun ideas and play with. But when it's my own idea, so it, depending on where the idea comes from and how much fleshing out it needs, sometimes I'll just jump into, usually it's a conversation with my brother. I'm like, oh, I have this idea. Wouldn't that be kind of funny? Or we'll just go to lunch and we'll start like, you know, shooting ideas around. And then I'll go into an outline. I like the outline form because it's sort of unbridled creativity and freedom. Mm-hmm. And I think mentally, I know no one else is going to read the outline, is just for me. So I'm free to say whatever without worrying about word choice or grammar or, you know, how good it is. Mm-hmm. And I can just get my ideas down on paper, and then I'll go into script once the outline's done. If it's commercial and it's really short, I'll just jump into the script.
Mm, that's cool. Like my other question for you is, okay, so it's 10, like if you could talk to yourself 10 years ago, like, is there any advice and input you'd give yourself? Like, you know, from 10 years ago that like things you've learned along this path of, you know, shooting and directing and doing all this content for all the networks and studios you've worked with?
Yeah, definitely. I'm constantly learning how to try to be a better director and a creative person. And I think I would tell myself a long time ago to kind of pick the one thing I really love and only advertise myself as that, because although it's really cool that my brother and I, we learned doing everything. So we're good filmers, editors, and visual effects artists, and VFX paid our bills for many, many years. I would tell my younger self to just say, hey, I'm a director, and focus on that and only take that work and prove that. That's what I've done starting a few years ago. And that's really helped because it helped me build my, you know, body of work. It felt like starting over because I was turning down good paying work and it was scary. Yeah,
right.
But then I started to have like some good short films where I could show, hey, look, my reel is better than it used to be. And I guess the other advice would be just eternal positivity. I've been a positive person anyway, but because my brother and I grew up together, I've had to learn how to collaborate better and delegate and trust people. And it's hard to trust people when you're starting at a level where like not everyone's necessarily the best at their job, or they're starting out just like I was. And it was hard for me to keep my patience and my cool, at least from an outside view. Like I was fine and cool and happy, but to be heard, I kind of sound angry sometimes. So I really learned, especially from observing JJ, who just, he just creates such a positive environment. And it was just really inspiring to watch him be like, and he is legitimately so enthusiastic about what he's doing. And I'm like, that's me too. I love being enthusiastic. I just need to focus more on my outward appearance and let people know I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
And then it becomes yeah, the enthusiasm is contagious and it makes everybody want to do the best work possible.
So true. Like, I totally agree. Cause like, especially in certain technical like fields within like being on set, it's very complicated. So just having that positive outlook is just, I think, such a important thing on set, especially because one little bad seed can kind of then start ruminating other little seeds. So yeah.
So I make it a point where if I have to be snappy or call out a thing to be heard, you know, and I realize, oh, maybe that sounded a little angry. And then when the thing's fixed, I try to make sure to go over and be like, hey, sorry about the thing. It was really great. This is, you know, just to make sure everyone's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
No, true. I think like communication is such a vital thing, especially on set, like in teams and collaboration.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's who I want to bring back on the next project is the people with cool attitudes. Cause when a disaster happens and things are going wrong, if some people are like, okay, how do we fix this? We're just like, oh man. Like, even if you agree, oh man.
Right.
You know, you just remember somebody for the complaining they used to do. And I look back on my younger self and think like, man, I used to complain too. And I've really tried to not do it and I'm better. I can always be better. Right. Every now and then I get a little snippy with my brother, but he's my brother. So it's okay.
Right. It's okay with siblings.
I mean, not everyone knows that. So it's not okay, but
oh, you know, yeah, true.
We know it's okay. And I've been getting a lot better at it. It just takes practice.
So true. I have a question for you that I ask all my guests on Limitless is one word that kind of like correlates with creativity. And what would that one word be for you?
It's funny, the creativity part, it's always been there, but in terms of getting the thing done, the hardest part for me is starting. So I think I would say start.
Start.
Yeah. Wow. If I need to write for the day, I just need to start. Once I sit down and I start, even if I convince myself, just 10 minutes, I'll try for 10 minutes. And once I start, I can't stop. And even though I know I'm lying to myself, it works. So that's the hardest part for me is just sitting down and getting started and not checking my Instagram.
So true, right? It's always about starting. It's the start that kind of creates that catalyst to getting to the finished product, right? Where can some of our listeners, like they're digging what you're doing, what you're up to, maybe they want to look into some of the films or shorts that you're working on. Where can they kind of find out more about you and dig in and get creative too with you?
I guess the easiest is ghostlight.com, which is spelled GHOSTLIGHT. That's a website my brother and I share. We each have our own sites for, you know, his for cinematography and mine for directing, but Ghostlight has all our stuff in one place.
Awesome. And is there anything you're kind of like looking forward to in the future that you're working on coming up? I know you mentioned some things that you can't talk about, but maybe there's a little like that you can mention. Right.
I mean, I'm writing a fun script that makes me laugh. And I'm not sure if it's going to be funny for everybody, but it makes me laugh. So I'm having a great time writing awesome. It.
That's cool. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the podcast and inspiring other fellow creatives to keep going. And I guess the powerful word is to start. So, you know, wherever you're at, just start. And I think if anything that I've learned from our conversation today is that, you know, pick your path and just go for it, you know, focus on that. And that's where you'll strive and you'll get your success and keep growing and learning as you go. So thank you so much, David, for being on the podcast. I so appreciate having you on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. We'll have to have your brother maybe on the next episode or an episode coming up. So we'll have
absolutely,
to do it.
Yeah.
So
he's
you'll have
great,
to tug him to come on the podcast.
I'll tell him right now.
Cool. Hey, yeah, get him. Get him. Hey, yeah, come on the podcast.
I'll get him to come on with you. Yeah, he's great. Cool. He has some cool insight too.
Awesome.